Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And welcome, everybody. Penny for your thoughts as we hit the ninth day of August on this Thursday. Glad you're with us, wherever you might be listening. Nice to see the sun again out there in downtown Champaign. 70 degrees, kind of a foggy morning to the start, but not bad here for the month of August. Glad you're with us on this Thursday morning, wherever you might be listening. A lot of people listen in their cars or as they're working or in their homes or they're in their gardens or they're listening on streaming and they're listening locally or they're listening nationally or around the world, wherever you might be tuned in today. Greetings to you, each and every one of you from Champaign, Illinois. Glad to be with you here on WDWS. My name is Brian Barnhart. And lots of news to talk about today. What we usually do, just give you some highlights of things that are happening both locally and nationally. And then we'll take your comments on any or all of those items. You can always call us, as Gene mentioned at the open, 356-9397. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling presents that, 217-351-5357. Or you can email us throughout the show at talk@wdws.com. And as we work our way through the morning, we'll have open line time today. We've sprinkled in a couple of things. One thing I'd like to do is if there is a story of interest, especially locally, we'd like to have some people on. I could tell you the story of what's happening. There's a big headline today, CAMS sold. I could tell you about it, but why not hear from the guy that sold it and owned it for 27 years for a couple of minutes this morning? So we'll talk to Eric Meyer here in a couple of minutes. He's been the owner of CAMS and also Pia's. He's announced last night, told News Gazette Media about his decision to sell his interest in CAMS after 27 years. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Happy 10th birthday coming up this weekend to the iHotel. Peter Fox and the Fox Atkins Group turning down a recent offer to buy both the hotel and the adjacent Houlihan's restaurant spaces for $19 million. Wanted to keep it in the management of it in local hands. But a happy 10th birthday to the iHotel. Also a report on a serious matter from the U of I on combating sexual misconduct. They say assaults are most common during the first 2 months of the school year. Julie Worth has that story. Our newsroom's been covering it as well. Here today through News Gazette Media. Ivanka Trump visited the state of Illinois and went to a welding shop at Lewis and Clark. That was yesterday. News from Champaign-Clark Park, some new rules being crafted there for big houses on tiny lots. Nationally, the Paul Manafort trial is moving along quickly in Alexandria, Virginia. Students in Atlanta, I found this, so maybe get your comments on this during the course of the day. Students in Atlanta no longer saying the Pledge of Allegiance to start the day at one charter school there. Some NCAA changes. Dave Lone and Elizabeth talked about that just a little bit ago this morning. NCAA changes for college basketball. Illini basketball recruiting target headed to Kentucky. The State Fair starts today over in Springfield. What year is this? 166 for the State Fair. We'll touch on that a little bit in the second half hour today. Football practice again today, starting right now, 9 to 11, as they continue to gear up. You can follow all that with our coverage in the News Gazette and on the radio with our sports shows. And today in history, we talked about the Nixon announcement he would be resigning. Today, of course, the day Gerald Ford was sworn in. We'll touch on that if we get a chance a little bit. And also the dropping of the second atomic bomb in Japan on Nagasaki. That all happened on this day, August 9th. So a busy time ahead. We'll get it started here after our opening timeout. Eric Meyer, who is selling his interest in CAMS after nearly 30 years. Talk to him for a few minutes about that up next on DWS. Stay with us. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 855-357 or email us talk at WDWS.com. With you till 11 o'clock today ahead of the Rush Limbaugh Show after the news at 11. You can join us anytime during the show. And even if we're visiting with someone, you can send us texts and emails, and we'll get to those right after we're finished and just keep the show moving along. Well, opened up the News Gazette today and saw the headline. It had two words, cams sold. And I thought, well, I could tell you about it, or we could talk to Eric Meyer. How are you, Eric?
I'm fine, Brian.
Good. Well, good to talk to you, and this is a big moment, I guess, big step.
It was. I was a little nervous walking out of the store for the last time, realizing that you're no longer going to be the owner in about an hour. But, we had a wonderful run, blessed by so many great customers and alumni and support of my family. And we kind of always called our staff members the Camley, which felt into cams. And, you know, carrying on a great tradition that goes all the way back to Jack Cammer and his family, getting cams started in the, some practically 80 years ago in some fashion on this campus.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long did it go back? Because you had it for 27 years, which is a long time, but it goes way back before that.
Well, it does. And, you know, I worked as a student, paid my way through college working at cams, 81 through 84. Had some great years there when we went to the Rose Bowl and things of that nature. And certainly it was around long before that. It's been at the current location since 1975. It was where C.O. Daniels was back in the 50s and 60s. And I believe it all got started as Cammer's Drugstore, clear down where Express Royale was about 1931 or so.
There's some great stories. We're visiting with Eric Meyer, who, as of today, no longer the owner of CAMS. Now, you're still involved with Pia's, right?
I am. I've got part of Pia's and part of Bentley's downtown, so I'll be in the community, and, I've got a consulting contract with the new owners, too, to ease in the transition to assist them as well for some time, and I'm not going to divulge who the new partners or the new owners are, but they do involve a current campus bar owner and a past campus bar owner, and the daughter of the past campus, wife of the past campus bar owner was a former bartender of mine years ago. So there's still a little bit of tradition, I think, being carried forward.
Yeah, and they'll be ready to go when school starts here pretty soon.
That's their plan. Yeah. Obviously, there's always a little bit of a lag in the transfer sometimes of a license and things of that nature. And but I don't anticipate there'll be any problems there. And we look forward to moving forward and getting them started here shortly.
I'm guessing you're hearing from a lot of former students, alums. I mean, the Gazette had an article, Julie Wirth did, Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman remembered that she met her late husband, Gil, there for morning coffee after 9 a.m. Darren Williams stopped in a lot. You just go down the list. There's a whole bunch of people that are well-known.
Every time Gil came back, or Darren Williams, we called him Gil, whenever he came back in town, he usually came by or gave me a call and said, hey, I'm coming by. And sometimes he'd come by just to have nothing but a hoodie on with gerents or something, just because they didn't really want to get too visible. As a student, it was a little different, but once he became famous after the gold medal, I think, it was kind of like, I'll come by, but I got to kind of be quiet here, So, but we've been blessed by not only some great athletes, both former and, that have gone on to do great things. But, more importantly, we've got a great university here, and we've been really blessed by having some of the top people. And I've been able to get calls from all around the country already, and just the last since last evening when it kind of hit. And, everything from, Leslie Munger and her husband John to, other individuals in the community and past staff members and past athletes have reached out, and that's really nice. Just a lot of good, very congratulation type issues. But I think more importantly, it was just fond memories of their experience when they were at camps.
Yeah, Leslie Munger, you mentioned her, the deputy governor. She had two sons who worked there, right?
She or, did.
Yeah.
Yep. We both Andy and Tommy worked there, and well, they were great. And you know, they're successful young men too now in the Chicago area. And you know, it's just great to see so many people going on. And you know, one of the exciting thing was is I was able to hire so many of my fraternity brothers' kids as they grew up and came on to the university. Even one of my fraternity brothers, Sackett family, they've had four of their five kids come through the university, and I've employed them all. So it's kind of been fun to see the family traditions carry on that were there even when I was a student and working side by side with them as well.
I don't know if you were working there at the time, but there was a story today about Darren Fletcher in a snowball fight or something with a football team. And
well, that all happened in 85, and I bought Pia's with a couple partners back in 1984, and so I left CAMS just prior to that fun. So I missed that part, and I didn't come back until 91, and so there is a little seven-year slot there where I kind of missed out on a few things, but it was great to hear some of those old stories, too, and you know, even Rita Garman making her comment. You know, I know her daughter well, too, and we're friends with them, and it's like it's just amazing how many people we've touched over the many years, and that's been great. We've enjoyed it all.
Before we let you go, Eric, a couple of things. What was the biggest challenge over the years of running a place like CAMS?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is certainly keeping the tradition going, but I think moreover is the fact that, you know, when you're dealing with a store of that size and what we're dealing with some 100 and, you know, 20-some plus employees is that, you know, we lose all our help every 3 years. It's really a three-year cycle. And so you're constantly working on hiring the best and training, you know, the next generation to take over. And sometimes when you make those hires, you don't know what that's going to be 3 years later from now. But fortunately, we've always had great staff and a high demand for people that wanted to work there. And, you know, I really I was just one person as part of the team. You know, I have to give the credit out to really staff members that really carried on the tradition. And, you know, you are only as good as your staff. And both my sons were very active for many years, too, in the business as well. And, you know, I have to thank all of them.
And I guess you, along the way, over that time, you were pretty conscious of the atmosphere, the environment. I mean, people say, yeah, I remember what it was. I was in there 30 years ago, and it's still kind of the same way. Is that?
You know, so many people always said, you know, why aren't you remodeling? Why aren't you doing this and that? And I said, well, you know, we'll make subtle changes, but a lot of people always enjoyed coming back to something that they remembered it being the same and something that they could relive some of their college memories. And so, you know, homecomings, dad's days, mom's days were always some of our busiest weekends, and those created a lot of excitement too. And you know, and the university community has always been, you know, very kind to us as well. And you know, I think we've tried to be we were always fair to our customers, always fair to our staff, and I think the community was fair to us as well.
All right, well, Eric, we'll let you go, and thanks for the time today, and good luck with the rest of your endeavors, and always good to see you out and about.
Well, always Illini, so go Illini.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
Take care.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. All right. Eric Meyer, he just sold, as of yesterday, CAMS on campus, 27 years. There's a sign there says, Meyer family thanks you, 27 years. Camley forever, K-M-I-L-Y forever. Illini tradition there below that little note on the sign. So there you go. But it will be open. There were some rumors, I guess, it was going to close, but the new owners, you just heard it from Eric, say they will be reopening when the school year starts at 618 East Daniel. So there you go. Just wanted to get that on. That was a big headline in the News Gazette today. We'll take a quick break, 9:20, back with your phone calls and emails and texts. Some reaction coming in on the NCAA rules that were issued yesterday or came out yesterday. We'll touch on that if we get a chance. If there's something else you want to bring up, feel free to do it after this timeout. Brian Barnhart back on Penny for Your Thoughts on this Thursday, 356-9397. You can join us on the phone lines. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us talk at WDWS.com. And thank you to Eric Meyer for being with us for a few minutes as he sold cams as of yesterday. Big story in the News Gazette. You can check it out on the front page there by Julie Worth. Julie, also another story that we'll get into a little bit here as well. The U of I coming out. First week's crucial in combating sexual misconduct. That report out. They say sexual assault's most common during the first 2 months of the school year, especially for freshmen. According to a U of I report that recommends new efforts to support students in those critical early weeks. You can check that out as well and from our newsroom as we've been covering that here today. Let's see what else is going on at the national level. The prosecutors aim to rest their case in the Manafort trial by the end of the week. The fraud trial for the former Trump campaign manager, who was the manager very briefly, but he was the manager at one point, set to continue as the government expects to rest its case by the end of the week. Vice President Mike Pence announcing the administration's plan to establish a space force. You may have heard about that a couple weeks ago during a speech at the Pentagon today. That's according to the Washington Post. The feds to update the hurricane forecast. Of course, catastrophic wildfires in hot, bone-dry California making most of the weather news, but it may be soon time to turn attention to the tropical of the Atlantic hurricane season is fast approaching. They're going to announce their updated forecast for the hurricanes on that coming up today. And Samsung looks to go bigger than ever with Note 9. Improved camera performance and more generous storage can be unveiled at a bash in Brooklyn today. And it's tea time for the final major of the year. They were talking about that this morning on sports with Loney. The 100th PGA Championship, golf's final major of this season, tees off today in the suburbs of St. Louis. Justin Thomas looks to defend his title. Patrick Reed, who won the Masters. Of course, Francisco Molinari won the Open, playing for their second major titles of the year. Weather could pose a challenge for the players. A sign in the players' locker room warning. Due to the expected high temperatures and high humidity over the next couple of days, green speeds will remain slower than their plan for championships rounds down in the St. Louis area. So good luck to all the golfers down there. Some of the other people who stopped in, there were a couple of other stories about cams that were, if you go to University of Illinois 150 years, uofi150.newsgazette.com, there's a little bit of a background on some of the people talking about the history of cams. Darren Fletcher, former Illini baseball, of course, major leaguer. One winter night, just before closing time, perfectly thrown strike from Fletcher to the poor soul who happened to exit the bar first. Lo and behold, Fletcher says, the first guy out was Jack Trudeau. He says, I let go of a perfect strike down to second base and delivered a nice blow to the shoulder and neck of the star quarterback. Needless to say, he wasn't too happy. Ran in and got some of his buddies to come out for backup and thus began the epic snowball fight between the baseball players and football players. 1985. Ernst & Young's Donna Ross Daniels landed a part-time job tending bar there. Rita Garman, Illinois Supreme Court, future husband Gil there, her late husband, met for 10 o'clock class. Says, I met my late husband Gil in a labor economics class when we were juniors. We would walk after our class at DKH down to Cam's for coffee. So those are some of the people that have passed through over the years there at CAMS. Bill says, went to CAMS in the mid-70s and back in the late 80s. Nothing changed. Stale beer smell in the bar and bathrooms unbreathable. Hope they have a major cleaning. That's from Bill. And somebody else texted in and said, hopefully the next owners at CAMS will clean the place up. So they had the sticky floors, right, and the atmosphere there at CAMS. 927. Good morning, Brian. I like the new NCAA rules. I will give them a chance. I wish the rules were in place this season. I hope the new rules will do away with the one-and-done rule. What is the your opinion of the new rules. I saw that, and I've been doing a little bit of studying. I actually was busy yesterday afternoon, didn't really pay much attention when all of this is happening. But there's some different articles today. Sports Illustrated has a multi-page review, what's really to come from the NCAA student-athlete agent announcement. And here were some of the things. In a landmark declaration, the NCAA announced on Wednesday, among other rule changes, college basketball players can hire an agent so long as the player requests an evaluation from the NBA Undergraduate Advisory Committee, which consists of NBA team executives who provide candid advice to college players on their draft prospects. And two, assuming the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association consent to the following arrangement, high school basketball players who have been identified as an elite senior prospect by USA Basketball can also be represented by an agent beginning July 1 before their senior year in high school. And three, agents must be certified by the NCAA in order to work with high school and college athletes. However, until August 1, 2020, NBPA certified agents will be automatically considered NCAA certified, and family members or those who act solely on behalf of a pro team aren't required to be certified at all. Part of the problem is the NCAA can come up with their own ideas, but the NBA and the Players Association, and they have to all agree and be working together on this. So this is kind of the first step as the NCAA tries to do some of this. And a lot of this has to do with the AAU situation and the shoes and what caused the big scandal that rocked the college basketball world in the past. Also, the NCAA is increasing the number of official visit recruits are allowed from 5 to 15. Unofficial visits, where recruits have to pay their own way to a campus, have long been a compliance nightmare for the NCAA. So in an effort to eliminate the illicit money that funds these visits, they're allowing players to take more official visits, which are paid for by the schools. That sounds good in theory. This is in USA Today. However, coaches are wondering if it'll incentivize kids to take free trips to schools they have no intention of signing with and waste everybody's time. The NCAA headline, they say they're beefing up enforcement. It actually is this time, and perhaps in meaningful ways. For years, the NCAA has blamed its lack of subpoena power for its failure to catch cheaters. Let's be really clear, Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, said we don't have subpoena power, we never will, but in a sense, they now have subpoena power by proxy with a new rule that allows NCAA investigators to accept information established by another administrative body, including a court of law, government agency, accrediting body, or a commission authorized by a school. From a practical standpoint, that means anything that comes up in the courtroom phase of the FBI's investigation into college basketball corruption could be used in an NCAA investigation. And the NCAA will allow underclassmen who declare for the NBA draft to return to school if they aren't selected. And there's some tie-in with agents that we just talked about. So those are some of the rules. I don't know what to make of all that. You know, if they leave me in charge for a day, I say, if you're out of high school and you're good enough, if you're LeBron James, go for it. If you're not and you don't, like in baseball, if you get drafted and they take you, you're good enough to go, then you can go right out of high school. If not, you have to go at least 2 or maybe 3 years at the college level and then be drafted. But I don't think that will happen. But that would be me if I'm in charge for a day. 931 here at DWS. Your phone calls, emails, and texts, welcome. You can keep those coming, and we will continue with more. We'll touch on the State Fair of Illinois a little bit. 166th edition over in Springfield starting today. Michael Kaiser has the news, and then back with more. Open line time here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Penny for Your Thoughts continues here. News Talk 1400 DWS, 70 degrees here in downtown Champaign, 937. We'll talk about the Illinois State Fair here in just a moment. If you're looking to sell or buy a home, our great husband and wife team at Keller Williams, my friends Steve and Pam Starwalt, they both grew up in the Champaign-Urbana area. They graduated locally. They know the area very well. When you want to see your home and sell it or buy one, call Pam and Steve. They're at 217-239-7156. You can Google Pam. You can Google Steve. You can Google Starwalt. Take your pick, and you will find them. and you can get connected. If you're buying a home, Steve and Pam have assembled an outstanding team of appraisers, lenders, who can walk you through the process of what can be a big change in your life. In fact, speaking of those life changes, if you're at a stage of life where downsizing is an option, Pam has completed training and earned a certificate that makes her a senior real estate specialist. Again, the number 239-7156, area code 217. If they happen to be out working with a client, that number rolls over to Pam's cell phone, so you'll get the quick attention that you need. Steve and Pam Starwalt, the outstanding husband and wife team at Keller Williams Realty. When buying or selling a home, get the same people on the same page with you that'll be with you throughout the entire process. And again, Google Starwalt for more information on them if you do not remember the phone number. 356-9397 is the phone number here. Of course, the Illinois State Fair, edition number 166, starting up today. Luke Saylor is with us, State Fair Manager. How are you, Luke?
Hey, good. Good morning. How are you doing?
You ready to go over there?
We are ready here in the capital city. Fairgrounds looks great. We are ready for all of Illinois to come out and celebrate with us.
So what is tonight, the preview night? Is that what you do first?
Yes, sir. Yep, tonight's the preview night. So today it's kind of getting everything, kind of the finishing touches. The grounds will be open. And then at 3 o'clock we will cut the ribbon and officially get the fair rolling. And then at 5:30 we'll start our Twilight Parade.
So how crazy is today for you?
Today is a lot of running around, getting everything buttoned up, you know, making sure all of our vendors are set and happy and excited, you know, getting all those finishing touches on, getting, you know, talking with the media, talking with all of our business partners. So today's a busy day, but it's a good busy.
Yeah. So you, how long have you been the fair manager?
So I became the fair manager March 1st. Mm-hmm. I was the intern before that, after my former boss retired at the end of 2017. So it's been a couple months now, you know, very excited. This is my fourth fair. Hard to believe it's already been 4 years, but things are going great. We're excited.
So tell me, what's the theme this year?
So our theme this year is Celebrate Illinois 200 Years of Amazing. As you know, this is our state's bicentennial year, so keeping the bicentennial theme alive throughout the entire fairgrounds.
Tell me about the concerts. Everybody's always interested in those. You've got, Boy George and the Culture Club, among others. But when you set those up, do you try to cut across demographic lines, age? You try to cover everybody when you set those up?
We do. We want everybody to feel like there's a concert for them. So we try to keep our lineup very diverse. Very excited to have, you know, obviously in the state's bicentennial year, very excited to have our Illinois brother, Brett Eldridge, from over there, you know, your neck of the woods of Paris. So very excited to have him on the grandstand stage next Friday. So excited to welcome him and his team to the grandstand stage as a major headliner. So it's going to be him, Thomas Rhett, Luke Combs, Foreigner, you know, Hailstorm Mastodon, Flo Rider and Ludacris. You know, tons of opportunities for everybody.
I see Joan Jett there too, huh?
Absolutely. Joan Jett opening for Foreigners, so very excited about that. That's this Sunday.
So when people go over, they're heading over from Champaign in this area. What's the, obviously going over on 72, but what's the best way once you get to town? What's the quickest way there?
The fairgrounds is so great. You know, it's you know, right off of Sangamon Avenue, so once they come over from Champaign, they can make, you know, just a quick hour and a half drive. I'm a U of I grad myself, so I get over to Champaign a lot, so it's an easy drive. Come on over and then get off Sangamon Avenue and come right, you'll literally run right into the fairground.
Mm-hmm. A lot for the kids, too?
There is. We've got a brand new, never before we've had a roller coaster on the fair. So we're very excited to have the Crazy Mouse. It's our first ever roller coaster here at the Illinois State Fair. So tons of ride opportunities. Mega passes are still available. So that's unlimited rides for the whole duration of the fair. So carnival rides, from livestock exhibits to free entertainment. We actually were very excited on Monday night. We're going to be, you know, welcoming U of I Athletic Director Josh Whitman and the 1450 crew to talk Illinois football. So very excited about that. And then the local CSA football.
Yeah, I'm coming over for that, too.
That's right. Yeah, you'll be. That's right. You are coming. That's true. So very excited for that.
Yeah, in case you didn't know. So that'll be cool. We'll be there with Josh Monday nights. Looking forward to that.
Well, very excited to have you guys over here. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. And I guess when you run a fair, Luke, as you know, you're Luke Saylor with us from the Illinois State Fair. He manages the fair. cost is a big thing, right? With, you know, you take your family, you want to be able to afford to go, but also have a good time, right? And that, is that a goal of yours, to try to make it as affordable as possible?
Absolutely, Brian. You know, we pride ourselves on being family fun and affordable. You know, beer prices are $4 this year, down from last year. You know, our admission is $10, parking is $5. So very, you know, we want families to come out, have a good time without breaking the bank.
Well, yeah, because when you get there, you don't want to start, you know, well, gee, well, what can I afford to ride? If you get the unlimited rides for a decent price, I mean, that just makes a big difference. You know, turn the kids loose and let them have some fun.
Exactly. The carnival, we've got a huge footprint of the carnival, so you can sit at the gates, let them go in, have their fun, and then, you know, maybe go grab a quick beer at the beer tent next door and enjoy your time.
You got time to take a call? I got a question for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Ted. Good morning. You're on with Luke Saylor.
Good morning, Luke. Love State Fair. Saw Sonny and Cher back there in 69, I think.
Oh, fantastic.
You being in charge of the thing, and again, I'm kind of in the music business per se, and I hear the numbers of what they cost, and like John Mellencamp was $375,000 for 90 minutes. Do you ever get choked up, I mean, in a bad way, when you hear these prices as to what they would be? Like Garth, you know, some acts get $750,000 to $1 million for 90 minutes. I mean, it's ludicrous, and I'm not saying it's bad because you have to pay, but isn't it crazy being you're in charge, some of the prices that you have to pay, and are all those prices public information?
You're exactly right, Ted. We're in the wrong business, aren't we? God didn't give us musical gift, you know. So it you're exactly right. You know, there, you know, people like Luke Bryan or Carrie Underwood, you know, they won't look at an offer under $1 million. That, quite frankly, just isn't in our budget. We can't afford that. You know, every penny counts. We try to put on the best entertainment we can within our price range. You know, we've done just that again this year, so very excited for that. But it's music industry is on the rise. There's so many new up and comers and even the established, you know, legends. They're all worth a lot of money. But, you know, we feel it's important that our grandstand be exciting and thriving every single night of the fair, and that's the product we want to put on for all of our fairgoers.
And I'll be there and love it. And, again, off top of my head, you're going to spend $10 to $15 million on entertainment, and I will be there to contribute. And I always love the State Fair. It's always clean. There's always plenty of law enforcement, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Ted. I appreciate it, sir. Looking forward to seeing you at the fair.
All right. Thanks. Hey, thank you, Ted. We appreciate it. So tonight, when do things get started? When do gates typically open every day?
Gates will start opening at 8 o'clock every day. Mm-hmm. So people can come in. Vehicles have to be off the grounds by 10. Vendors are still kind of setting up and everything. So really after 10 o'clock, it starts rolling. But yeah, today we will cut the ribbon at 3 o'clock, start the Twilight Parade, and we'll be officially, you know, welcoming everyone to the State Fair.
And you got all the politicians coming in next week, right?
It's a very big, you know, obviously election year, so Wednesday and Thursday will be big days.
Yeah. All right, another call for you if you got time, another minute or two here.
I've got
here.
Time, absolutely.
All right, good.
Ryan.
I know, you got a lot going on today, though.
I always love talking with you, sir.
All right, let's go to Steve. You're on with Luke Saylor. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Luke. This is Steve McKinney. I wonder why we don't have the draft horse full on the last day like has been in the past.
We do have a draft horse pool.
You do?
Yes, sir. Yep, we do. It's and actually, and don't tell the Society Horse Show people, but it's one of my favorite shows.
It is mine too. Is it on the Las Vegas?
Yeah, they put on a great show. If you haven't, you know, for all the other listeners out there, if they haven't seen the heavy draft horse pools, they are pretty spectacular. What those horses can do, it's a pretty interesting feat.
I really get into it. And we looked on the schedule, but we didn't see it.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, we will have to, I will make sure that's on the schedule and we can get that updated. I apologize.
Yeah. So when is it, Luke?
It is always last Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look at my schedule here. Usually it typically starts around 5 o'clock. And then of course it runs throughout the, mm-hmm. you know, the evening.
Yeah, you have the light horse pulls first, maybe earlier, and then the heavies later.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I will definitely pull that. And I tell you what, maybe off the air we can. I tell you what, sir, why don't you just give us a call back here at the State Fair office, 217-782-6661, and we will get that scheduled for you.
Thank you.
Okay. 782-6661. Very good. Hey, thank you, Steve. All right.
Have a good day, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Well, Luke, anything else we need to know? 11 days, right?
11 days. It's action-packed, something for everyone. Again, Brian, looking forward to seeing you and Athletic Director Josh Whitman on Monday night. I think that's going to be a really special time, and I think a lot of people are going to be coming out for that. The buzz has been good here in the Capital City, and hopefully we can pull some people from Champaign as well.
All right. Hey, Luke, thanks for the time today. Good job, and we'll see you over there.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to it. Thanks,
yep.
Brian.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Luke Saylor with the Illinois State Fair. He's the manager there. 9:49, open line time the rest of the show up until 11. Back with your phone calls, emails, and text after this.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. When I got into this business, I used to make flavored vodka infusions for my friends as gifts. When I started to make a go of it, the owner of a local liquor store showed me the dust on some flavored vodka bottles that sat on the shelves. He said, if you can make a straight vodka so smooth that you could drink it just by itself, then you'd really have something. So I did. And now, all these years later, we still only make one flavor, vodka flavored vodka. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Tito'sVodka.com.
Sure, we've been called a mom-and-pop store. We take it as a compliment. After all, we are family-owned and operated with two generations actively involved, and five of our team members have been with us for around 20 years each, or longer. We run our business with old-fashioned customer service as our foundation, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Add our great selection of hand-picked mattresses, all proudly made in the USA, at guaranteed lowest prices, and we're sure you won't find a better deal anywhere. Visit us and experience the Illini mattress difference today.
This week at NewsGazette.com, the 12th episode of Inside Illini Basketball, where beat writer Scott Ritchie breaks down Khalil Whitney's recruitment, the non-conference schedule, and more about Brad Underwood's program.
.950, spanning the globe here on Penny for Your Thoughts. We talked about with Eric Meyer over at former owner now of Cam's. He sold that as of last night. That was a big story in the News Gazette today and on the radio as well. A little bit with Luke Saylor from the Illinois State Fair. He manages the State Fair, U of I grad, so good to visit with him for a little bit. Good questions, by the way, from our audience. If you have any texts or emails you want to send in along the way, you can certainly do that as well. 9:51 here on Penny for Your Thoughts. A football practice underway again today, 9 to 11. And we'll get over there and be covering that for you throughout the morning as well with our team here at News Gazette Media. To the phones we go to Stan. Stan, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How long did he own Cam?
27 years.
Okay, not long enough for it to get back to me, but that's okay. I like that place.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway.
Huh? Yeah, okay, good.
I did back in the day when I was at U of I, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Went there quite often. But anyway, I just wanted to touch base on something that one of Trump's many, many lies, and it has to do with the economy, the 4.1 GDP growth rate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That 4.1 GDP growth rate is a hoax. And the reason it's a hoax is because of all of the soybeans that were shipped to China before the tariffs took place. Trump said that those soybeans were going to Europe. They didn't. They went to China. Europe has not been opened up for many of our agriculture products yet, and Trump says it has. Europe is one of the biggest anti-GMO areas in the world, and almost all of our product is GMO. They're not going to let any more of our GMO products in tomorrow than they do today.
So they just had the deal with the European Union, right? So it probably hasn't taken effect.
I don't think there's not been a deal yet.
Oh, okay.
There's
well,
been talks of negotiation.
Oh, okay. All right. And you're saying some of the economic activity was the soybeans being sold before the tariffs kicked in?
Exactly. 1.3 billion bushels, I think it was shipped to China just before the tariffs, and maybe not all of it to China, but a lot of it went to China. And now they're not going to be buying any more soybeans. And that's why we had to have the $12 billion tax cut for the corporate farms, because they're not going to have a market for their GMO beans.
Yeah. Do you think the numbers will slow down here once the tariffs start having their impact?
Well, we have, I'm not, you mean GDP numbers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, once they revise that $1.6 billion and it works its way out, that will reduce that probably to closer to 3% than 4.1. And I mean, that really was a massive sale, but it was a one-off. Once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because normally we don't have a bunch of tariff wars, but under Trump, that seems to be what he wants to do. And we've lost another manufacturing plant that says they're going to shut down. Element Electronics says it's going to close its doors by October 5th if the tariffs aren't removed, because it can't afford to sell its product after the tariffs are slapped on them.
Yep.
So,
all right,
and that's the last manufacturer of TVs in the United States.
All right. Thank you, Stan. I appreciate the call today.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Always good to hear from you. 9:54 here at DWS. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line time here today up until 11 o'clock now. We've talked CAMS. We've talked State Fair. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have an open line in the first hour. Second hour, Andrea Darlis, who is also a U of I alum and works up in Chicago, WGN, both radio and television, has been covering a lot of the shootings up in Chicago. In fact, she was at the hospital, she told me, the other night when several people arrived, when they had 70 wounded, 11 dead, I think, during the course of the weekend in Chicago. She's going to join us tomorrow in the second hour just for a little bit, and we'll talk about why is all that happening up there? What's going on? Talk to Andrea, who covers this on a daily basis for WGN Radio and TV in Chicago tomorrow. 9:55, and Greg is with us. Good morning, Greg.
Hello, Brian. You know, Stan's an expert on everything. He needs to look at his 401k or retirement funds, if he's got any of those, and just see what they've done since President Trump got in. Look at the stock market. It's way up. But, you know, this Stan calls in every day whining about President Trump. Well, I got news for you, Stan. He is the president, and he's going to be the president till at least 2020 and probably till 2024. So you might as well just get over it. This constant battering of the president every day.
Well, he hadn't been on for a couple of days, but I know what you mean. He's frequent. Yeah. He's frequent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's no wonder MSNBC, CNN, nobody's watching that because it's the same old stuff every day. There's no there's no news anymore. It's all about bashing Trump.
Yeah, my big thing is no news, a lot of analysis. I mean, you can overanalyze everything, and that's my biggest.
That's why the viewership's way down on these news channels. People are getting tired of the same stuff every day. But I look forward to hearing Andrea Darlis tomorrow talking about this situation in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, what people don't realize is going on up there. You got felons, drug convictions, firearm felons that are being arrested and released with little or no bond up there. And sometimes, a lot of times, they're not even charging those people. And
well,
that's state's attorney up there.
Yeah, I know, and the police are, you know, facing an uphill struggle trying to keep up with it.
The police in Chicago don't have much support from the mayor. You know, he's catering to the poor people and the blacks in the South and West Side because he's up for re-election. But he has no support for his police. Where was he over the weekend when 70 people were shot? He should have been on the news or make some kind of a statement. But I'll tell you something a lot of people don't realize. Rahm Emanuel, he doesn't live in Chicago. He lives in Washington, D.C. He's in Chicago maybe 2 days a week. And he's gone. He's every weekend. He's not up there. And his police superintendent, he's the puppet of the mayor. He should have been on Saturday and Sunday talking about what's going on up there. It's always on Monday after they've had all weekend to get their stories all aligned.
Well, we'll find out. It'll be good to talk to Andrea, who covers all that regularly, and kind of get her insight on it, too. So,
yeah, I'd like to talk to her, but in case I can't get on there, you might ask her about what's going on with the state's attorney's office up there.
Okay. I'll
all
do
right.
that.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Greg. Yep. Good to hear from you. 356-9397. Any phone calls, emails, or texting, you can certainly join us here during the course of the show today. Illini basketball recruiting target. Going to Kentucky, that was in the sports news. What was it? Oregon, I think, was in the mix for this young man they were looking at. And he wound up going to Kentucky. Five-star small forward Khalil Whitney played for the Chicago AAU program Mackerv and Fire. Chose the Wildcats yesterday over Illinois, Georgetown, and Oregon. And Illini volleyball, which is getting started very soon, 12th. In the preseason poll. The Illini finished the 2017 season ranked among the top 25 after a Sweet 16 run in the NCAA tournament. It was the Illini's only week ranked among the nation's elite teams. That mark already matched more than just 2 weeks before the 2018 season opener. Illini will have their alumni match, their matchup inter-squad, intramural match coming up here in about a week or so, and then they will head on the road for quite a while. Fort Collins, Colorado. Big Ten Pac-12 Challenge in Seattle. Creighton at home at the Illini Classic at Huff Hall, all coming up in the month ahead. So volleyball not that far away. That means football is not far behind. We're getting going here in Champaign-Urbana. All right, the news is next here at 10 on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. More open line time in the next hour. Stay tuned. CBS News next at the Tone. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, 10, 11, and 75 degrees, sunshine in downtown Champaign at our studios. You ever get a chance to stop by and look in our studios? Not quite up against the glass like they were at WGN in Chicago before they moved, but just back a little bit. You can look in, and they've got the speakers out there now. You can hear us, I believe, on the street. So anyway, always appreciate you being with us wherever you might be listening today. Got some texts and emails in. One note on Chicago. Governor Bruce Rauner says he will not dispatch the Illinois National Guard to Chicago to stem gun violence. He told reporters yesterday the violence in Chicago is heartbreaking. It's got to end. His comments coming after 74 people shot in the city last weekend. At least 11 were killed. Chicago police have ordered 600 additional officers to the affected neighborhoods through the weekend. So, talking about that right before the top of the hour. Jimmy hung on through the news. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good. What's up with you?
Real quick, you had one caller, and the guy's obviously a Trump hater.
Yes, Stan.
That's Stan.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And, well, the next guy that called in did my job for him, man. He made me happy, man. I was like, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So he said it for you, huh?
Yeah. As far as the state fair goes, I got to go there in 1985 was the last time I got to go. And as far as music goes, I got to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers for $5, and Johnny Winter opened up for them. And there were guys walking through the stands with cases of cold Coors for $1.25, and it was a great time.
Wow. So you spent like $6 then?
Yeah.
Right? Or more than that?
Probably more than that. Okay. But it was a good time.
Yeah. Well, sounds like it. When was that again? 70s?
1985.
Oh, 85. Okay.
And last thing I remember is being out in a cornfield somewhere in the middle of nowhere at 2 in the morning. And I don't know what the people I was with was doing, but I made it home safe somehow. So
yeah, well,
drive.
Glad you did. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Jimmy.
Hey, thank you for your time. I appreciate
you
it.
You bet. Good to hear from you, as always. Black support for Trump, this is a text, has doubled in 1 year to almost 30%. If it does the same next year, you're talking 60%. Go Trump. Yeah, numerically that would happen. I don't see those numbers that high as far as 30 to 60, but mathematically you're correct. I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but he is our president. The Oval Office of the president needs to be respected. If I was a professional athlete, I would never turn down an invitation to the White House because I've never been to the White House. No matter who our president is, I'm going. That's a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. It is pretty cool. I had never been to the White House. We did get a tour of the West Wing a couple years ago, and that was pretty cool. It really was. Just to see all of the different rooms and different meeting rooms and different hallways and, oh, there's the door to the Oval Office and things like that. It was funny because we had seen in the news earlier in the day when we were there that Ted Cruz was going to have a dinner with the president at the White House that day. It was just in the news. He's going to meet Ted Cruz, and I forget what they were discussing. And then we walked through there on the tour, a group of five or six of us, and here comes Ted Cruz coming out of the down the hallway with his family. It was like, there he is. Either he had just come from dinner or was going to dinner. And our own Ed Bond shook hands with Ted Cruz. Now, that was a scene to behold. How about that? Ed Bond shaking hands with Ted Cruz after dinner with Donald Trump in the West Wing of the White House. Think about that. All right, Ted, 1016. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. Brian, how much different do you think the coverage would be in Chicago if Donald Trump was the mayor?
Oh, how much different? They'd be a lot more critical? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot more or a whole lot more.
Yeah. They'd be blaming him for all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's racist and all the other good stuff.
Well, Rahm Emanuel's taken quite a bit of heat on this, I think.
Yeah, that's surprising, really.
Well,
but he deserves it.
It's gotten so bad that, you know, I mean, you're the guy in charge, you're gonna catch the heat.
Another thing, I mean, it's a sanctuary city, so anybody that comes in there, they'll take them. I don't care what kind of background they've got.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic in Chicago anyway, because it's, you know, if there is a division, usually, among the politicians in Chicago, it's a Democrat versus Democrat. Because there's just not many Republicans up there.
And, you know, this Dianne Feinstein, heck, Mueller ought to be investigating her. She had that communist chauffeur, you know, driving her around for 20 years, and she's on the Senate Intelligence Committee. It kind of reminds me of Sergeant Schultz in the back end of a car, you know, with Hogan's Heroes driving, you know.
Yeah, I don't know much about that story. I have the news on in the studio here, and I noticed the headline said something about it. You said it was her chauffeur.
Yeah, she had a communist spy chauffeur driving her around for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
And she's on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Yeah.
Foreign Intelligence Committee. So nothing could go wrong there.
I'll have to look that one up. I hadn't seen that one yet. That was the first I had seen or heard of it. So,
well, the media's kind of swept that under the rug, you know, as old news. But, I think it's pretty significant, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll take a look and see what I can find on it. But thanks for letting me know about it.
Okay,
you
thanks,
bet.
Brian.
Thank you. All right, 1018 here at DWS. Back in a moment here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Ivanka Trump was in the news in the state. We'll talk about that in a moment. Just rolling along on Penny for Your Thoughts here. Open line time up until 11. Open line time tomorrow at 9. And then we will visit for about 15 minutes or so with Andrea Darlis, WGN Radio and TV up in Chicago, about all the violence in Chicago. What is at the root of it? What's happening up there? With 11 dead and 70 wounded over the weekend, just the weekend, not a month, not a year, the weekend in Chicago. 1021 here at DWS. The story Brian was referring to, and some of this, I'm sorry, I just missed some of it. President Trump used a weekend rally to mock U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein over the Russia meddling probe by calling out her former driver, who the paper out there in San Francisco, Chronicle, reported had been linked to Chinese spying. Trump told a crowd in Ohio over the weekend, this last weekend. Speaking of China, it just came out that the Democratic leader and the leader of the Russian investigation, Dianne Feinstein, had a Chinese spy as her driver for 20 years. And the president later tweeted, will she now investigate herself? Feinstein, facing re-election this fall, wasted little time firing back at Trump, saying once the FBI alerted her that the Chinese government was seeking to recruit an administrative member of her staff, the employee left my office immediately. There was no evidence the driver divulged any secret information or even knew the Chinese government was trying to recruit him. Compare that to your actions attacking the FBI and refusing the advice of your national security team. Sad. That was Feinstein's tweet back at Trump. So that's kind of the back and forth on the driver and China and the president and everything else. Ivanka Trump, speaking of Trump, toured the welding facility at a southwestern Illinois community college at Lewis and Clark. She promoted the importance of continued worker training. The daughter of the president traveled yesterday to Lewis and Clark Community College in Godfrey, which opened a $4.5 million training center in 2016 with 30 welding stations. Don't know if you saw the photo there. There was an AP photo out about showed her visiting with the welders in the welding room there, so that was interesting to see. And also, don't know what you think of this, but students at an Atlanta school down in Atlanta, Georgia, will no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance to start their school day. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the Atlanta Neighborhood Charter School announced the change in a news release. The elementary campus president told parents it had become, quote, increasingly obvious during the last couple of years that more people were choosing not to stand or recite the pledge. School officials say students will continue to be asked to stand to participate in the school's Wolfpack chant each morning. Also, teachers will work with students to create a school pledge that will focus on civic responsibility to the students, school, family, community, country, and our global society. So that's out of a charter school in Atlanta, Georgia, under the what do you make of that category. And the 10th anniversary of the iHotel coming up this weekend. 10 years, the iHotel. The iHotel has thrived and strives to distinguish itself by serving visitors to the U of I, among them alums, parents of students, professors, and athletes. The goal for the iHotel from the start, Peter Fox said, has been to make it a U of I-branded property rather than bring in a well-known hotel brand. Champaign-Urbana has plentiful hotel rooms on the perimeter of the community, serving interstate travelers. The conference center, which is 100% owned and operated by the U of I and managed under a long-term contract by Fox Atkins, Fox says, has returned an operating profit to the university of about $3 million over the decade. So happy birthday to the iHotel and Conference Center. Bill is joining us this morning at 10:25. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Brian. I got a couple things for you.
Yes.
I've always found it odd that CNN gets more attention paid to them and more coverage by other networks, other news organizations and pundits than they do from their own viewership. Actually, very few people watch it, but they seem to be in the news all the time.
Yeah, what is, I forget the number. I have to look it up. Maybe Ed or somebody can look it up. But I think the number is it 300,000 or something like that?
I mean, it's the Cooking Channel gets more. It's the second thing out of that Chicago. A couple of years ago, I read in the American Rifleman, it's a magazine published by the NRA, that they an interview a couple, like two, 3 years ago with the Chicago police, the head of the Chicago police, said there's about 1,400 known individuals, gangbangers, that are responsible for most of the murders on the Southwest side. And the trouble is, and you discussed this with the federal judge, I'm blanking on his name right now, that the federal government, like they had any crime committed with a gun, firearm, is automatic federal time of 5 years, second offense 25. But they're not enforcing it in Chicago. They have the worst enforcement percentage. Just like the judge said, they're all up there prosecuting corruption cases in Chicago. So.
Yeah, it might have been McCuskey is who you're thinking of, maybe.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just completely blanked on it.
No, that's okay. Yep. No, yeah, that's... It is sad, and you're right about the, you know, a lot of it is gang-related. I mean, that's part of it. And I've talked to different people here, Willie Comer and others, who follow this closely here about, you know, it's a lot of it spilled down to here and over to Danville and Rantoul and different places. And when, you know, say there's an attack on a gang member somewhere, you know, in Champaign or Urbana or Danville, and then there's revenge coming the other way, and you might be at a block party or a gathering, you're totally innocent, and you get caught up in it because they're getting revenge on some, you know, either somebody was shot or they stole their girlfriend or whatever it is, and it just deteriorates.
You remember Cabrini Green and the housing projects in Chicago?
Oh, sure.
They tore all those down. Now, they had a bad deal up there, because if you had to be a married man and woman and both working, you made too much money to stay there. And there was a lot of single mothers with a lot of children that they just had no control over. And they tore those down because they weren't working. They were just, you know, going into disrepair and dangerous gang areas. And when those people, like I said, they fixed them up, made nice apartments and stuff there now. Well, those people had nowhere to go in Chicago that they could afford, so they moved out to Danville, Champaign, and Peoria, Decatur, and all that. And they brought their gang ties with them. That's why I think you see so many shootings around here. More than we used to.
Yeah, no, that's what I understand. Talking to people who know that, you know, the background on a lot of the people involved, it's exactly what you're talking about.
And you hear all the time arrests being made, and the person still having a legal residence in Chicago. It's probably been down here for months or years.
Mm-hmm.
Never changed their residence.
So. Yeah, just bring the habits and everything else with them. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hey Bill, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it. Yeah, it is. And a lot of it, you know, when you go to the shooting at the basketball game earlier this year and everything else connected to that, and then you look at different, I mean, it's just, it's really, really sad. And if you're growing up in that environment and that's all you know, somebody has to, there's an intervention somewhere that has to happen to get you out of that, because that's all you know, then you grow up with it. And it just continues generation after generation, and I mean it's got to stop, or somebody's got to do something about it. And that's, I know there are a lot of efforts being done to try to intervene and work with the young families and try to get at the root of it before it becomes a part of everyday life that a lot of the folks that experience that go through. All right, 10:29. Michael Kaiser is here with the news headlines here on DWS. More open line time. What's on your mind today? It can be any of these topics. It can be something totally different. It can be something completely out of left field. If you want to bring it up, we can certainly talk about it here today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line time tomorrow. Andrea Darlis in the second hour for the first half hour, talking about the violence in Chicago. We'll talk to someone who covers it on a daily basis. Julia Reitz, by the way, is going to visit with me next week, 1 hour. Among other things. And we'll continue with more today, though, after the news headlines with Michael Kaiser. All right, back on Penny for Your Thoughts on DWS, 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones today. You can text us, 351-5357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. I got an email or text here, says, I love CNN and everybody should, LOL. Email in from Jerry. He says, Brian, words cannot describe how I enjoyed Penny on Monday and Tuesday of this week. Not one word or call about Donald Trump. I have listened to Penny for years, but that is about to end. Your show has become as distasteful as the two shows that follow yours. You will probably respond by saying that is what the callers want to talk about, but you set the tone each morning, just like your guest host did this past Monday and Tuesday. Why not return Penny to local discussions with local guests that can draw our community together rather than tearing it apart? That is from Jerry. Well, we just had on the guy that owned CAMS for 27 years. I don't know, we've had very little discussion today, I think, about the president. Didn't have any yesterday. And I think we've had several guests over time. In fact, that's one of the things that we've tried to do is, you know, not just spend every day discussing the president, but on open line time, if people want to discuss that, that's fine. But we also open it up to other possibilities, too. So I respectfully disagree with you there, Jerry, but I'm sorry that if you're not going to listen, I hate to lose you, but I hope you will. Bob, good morning. How are you, Bob?
Good morning, Brian. I respectfully disagree with that guy, too, mm-hmm. but I got a couple things. As far as Stan goes, I really enjoy when you have him on because he's really a hoot. last Friday, you got him into a conversation. I think you finally got him to admit that every time a Republican won, it was somehow the fix was in. Mm-hmm. And if a Democrat won, it was all on the up and up. But during that conversation, he mentioned that the New York Times, as far as the 2000 recount, the New York Times had published that Gore had won. Well, I didn't think that was right, so I basically Googled up New York Times 2000 election recount, and the very first hit you get is an article written by two guys about a year later that said a comprehensive review of uncounted Florida ballots from last year's presidential election reveals that George Bush would have won even if the U.S. Supreme Court had allowed a statewide manual recount to go forward.
Hmm.
And today he was talking about soybeans, and I had my doubts on the sale of one commodity being able to affect basically what he was talking about was almost 1% of the GDP growth. And so I Googled that up, and Forbes had an article that says there simply aren't enough soybeans on hand in the U.S. to have exported anywhere near enough volume to budget the GDP, or GDP. And nor are there that many buyers for that many beans. Hmm. So Stan has a tendency to just shoot from the hip. And I wish people would realize that if you watch any of MSNBC or CNN or what, that's where he's getting his talking points.
Hmm.
The final thing I'd like to is kind of just an off-the-cuff comment, but in the top of the hour news, I think they were talking about whether Trump was going to testify with the Mueller commission.
Yeah, to sit down for an interview.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and listen to that, I think it ends up saying that there's a 50-50 chance that'll happen sooner rather than later. Well, doesn't that mean there's also a 50-50 chance it'll happen later rather than sooner?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, the words mean something, don't they?
Okay, well, yeah. that's basically all
yeah.
I have to do.
You're right, yeah, the glass half full, glass half empty thing, so.
Yep.
Very good. Hey, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 356-9397, we're on Penny for Your Thoughts here, News Talk 1400. DWS. By the way, the Houlihan's restaurant on site, we talked about the iHotel and Conference Center. The Houlihan's restaurant is reasonably well, according to Peter Fox, in a competitive market, doing about $2 million a year in sales. He says we're quite happy with the way that it operates. And he says Fox credits employees, many of whom are long-term, with the hotel's favorable guest reviews. And our man Sam over there, he's been there a long time. If you've been to the iHotel at all, we love Sam and all the great work he does working for Peter Fox at the iHotel and Conference Center. All right, 356-9397 is the phone number. Back to the phones to Gordon. Good morning, Gordon.
Yes, good morning. Brian, unfortunately, when Luke Saylor was on, I was out riding my bicycle, and I almost fell off when I heard him call in. I have a friend who is signed up to be a vendor for the Veterans Day on Sunday, female, And as she originally signed up in March, so there was plenty of time. Last Friday, she still hasn't got any information. You know, no passes, no, doesn't even know where the tent's supposed to be. And she called and talked to somebody on Friday. They said it was mailed out as of Tuesday, as of yesterday, she still hadn't received it. So somebody over there is dropping a ball. It's, you know, here we are, the fair started. She's supposed to have a table in the veterans tent on Sunday, which is Veterans Day at the state fair. And maybe still listening, or somebody from that office is still listening, because she did try to call, left a message again, no responses. I'm going to help her out. She is the Illinois ambassador to the Women's Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery. So, you know, she was wanting to display for female veterans, and she'd get no help over there.
Well, that's too bad. I was looking here. I wrote down the number he gave, and there it is. She could try 782.
Okay, hang on. Just
okay. Yep.
I happened to step outside while I was calling, so because I, you know, it's pretty late at this point. And 782. Okay.
Yeah, 6661.
6661.
Yeah, that's okay. The number he gave number me for somebody to call over there on something else. So.
Okay.
Maybe
she was supposed to. She is supposed to be there on Sunday, and I was going to go over and help, but without any information on it, it's kind of hard to get organized.
Oh, I understand. No, you got to figure out where you're supposed to go and what you're doing for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Great to hear from you. 356-9397. Let's take a quick break and come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts after this timeout on Penny for Your Thoughts. Thomas up next. Good morning, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Reciting one of the earlier callers who pointed out that the city's governing body fails to do their job by not prosecuting the right people up in Chicago. They also are guilty of turning a blind eye to a lot of the gun trafficking that's going on throughout that city. There's been gang members that's come forward and stated that they found crates of guns that have been dropped off in the neighborhoods and the alleys, and they don't know where they have come from. So I think the city's governing body is also guilty of turning a blind eye in that respect.
Yeah, do you agree with the assessment about, you know, a lot of it has to do with gangs and just going after each other?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of the problem as well, and it's a tragedy that's going on. But looking at the government in particular and the likelihood of where these guns are coming from, which the government is democratic, but the gun traffickers are probably NRA supporters or someone that has ties to the gun manufacturer. So, you know, it would appear from the outside that it's almost a bipartisan failure that's helping this situation continue.
Boy.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it is really tragic, though. Man, you read about that and you hear one weekend, you think, my goodness. I mean, that's just
terrible.
Out of control.
That really is. And you spoke earlier about Mr. Comer, testifying to how out of control the situation is. When he came on a couple of weeks ago, he spoke about trades and jobs being needed in the black community. I mean, when you look at the Chicago situation and you look at how the job situation has diminished and the trade programs are not as flourishing and they've been outsourced to the outskirts of the city and things of that nature, then it's not a wonder that these type of things will go on when people are trying to eat and feed their families. Now, don't get me wrong, they are definitely guilty of some moral straightening that needs to go on. But when you take away the trades, you take away the jobs, then you get this result.
Yep.
Is what my opinion is.
Yep. I talked to Willie a lot about that. That's what he tells me, too. He just echoes what you just said about the,
yes, sir.
You know, teaching these young people to have a skill, to learn a trade, to, you know, that their life has a purpose. And not just to, you know, go out and join the local gang or, you know, to make them feel better about themselves.
Absolutely. They have to have that in order to have something to carry them, you know, through the BS, for lack of a better way to say it. They have to have a different focus, a different mentality.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, Thomas.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. On to Don. Good morning, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
The Trump support from blacks has doubled in 1 year, almost to 30%.
Yeah, somebody else mentioned that number earlier.
Yeah, think about that. If it doubles again in one more year, it'll be 60%. It's outrageous. You don't, you know, here, and you got to look to find it. Nobody says it, you know.
Yeah,
it's doubled in 1 year to almost 30%. That's huge. That's huge. And you know, I understand that, you know, Republicans and Democrats are like both sides of the coin. I want to try to get through this. My side doesn't boo God. My side doesn't call for violence against senior citizens because we disagree with the way they think. My side loves the flag. My side loves the Constitution. My side loves America. My side don't kneel during the national anthem. Hashtag walk away, people. Hashtag walk away.
Thanks,
Brian.
Thank you. Brian's up next. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I heard what Tom was saying. Now, I don't know if the gun manufacturers are involved, but I have seen several interviews of people in Chicago that live in those areas, and they said they have seen crates of guns and ammo just left in alleyways, just dropped off. So I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. Something's going on. And I don't think it's just people from Indiana buying guns and giving it to people in Chicago. I mean, somebody wants this violence. And I don't know why, unless they want all the chaos to bring about something else, which is a possibility. But, I mean, Thomas wasn't espousing a conspiracy theory. I mean, I've seen interviews with other people who live there, and they're saying the same thing. There's crates of guns and ammo just dropped off in alleys and there.
Hmm.
And so that needs to be investigated, but it's horrible. But the main thing is we need to get back to God, and we need to make sure we get married before we have children, and that we raise children. And they do need to bring trades back to and jobs and set it up so people can get jobs and get trained in school and trades so they can learn to be electricians and carpenters and mechanics. And then don't tax them to death so they can actually enjoy the fruits of their labor. These kids growing up in Chicago, they're just like our kids, except I can't remember. I think you pointed out earlier, if that's all they know, what else are they going to do?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And
there's a lot of intelligent people there, just with incredible creativity and brilliance, and it's being quashed by this current system up there of, you know, of welfare and exploiting the jobs somewhere else and getting, you know, and cutting them off so they can't get off welfare. I mean, if they want to get a job, they can.
Yeah, no, and it's like I say, if you and you can, you know, do your best to help them with different programs, and then you have them for maybe an hour or two, and then they go right back to the house where, you know, there's a drug deal going on, or there's guns, or there's,
yeah.
I mean, it's just hard to, it's hard to over, you got to get in early and try to get a new start, a new beginning early on.
Oh, I know. Those poor kids need prayer, those families, because and they need a way out. Because the current situation is just devouring them.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your thoughts today. You bet. Thank you. And to the phones to Lawrence. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to add one point to the conversations here. I learned from what I thought was a credible source, but it was probably more than 20 years ago, so I don't remember the source. But the concept was that little black boys had to join a gang in order to keep from continuously being beaten up by other little black boys. That was the only way they could protect themselves. And that's just wanted to add that, and bye now.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. Yeah, some of it has to do, too, with if you don't feel valued and suddenly you're part of a team, if you will, and that's a very loose term of the term team, but if you're part of something, it gives you what you think is self-esteem. And that's why talking about jobs and trades and acquiring skills at an early age, it gives you an identity. It gives you there is a future beyond what I see right now. And all kids, they don't have the, you know, when you're a young kid, you're just not thinking about your future and about so forth. But if somebody shows you a path, you can be more than you are now. And that's what a lot of people try to do and try to help no matter where you're from. Dick, good morning.
Morning, Brian.
How are you?
I'm late getting in this morning. I'm fine.
Good.
I'm late getting in this morning, so you might have discussed it, but 30 years ago tonight, I was sitting in Wrigley Field, and they turned on the lights for the first time.
Yeah, well, for the second time, right?
Yeah, actually, they turned them on, and it got rained out on August 8th.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we were up there and had to come back and then go back up, but I think that has been a very prominent change in the way they schedule baseball in the city of Chicago at Wrigley Field. I don't necessarily agree with all the night games, but I know it's a common thing back then. And I just wanted to let you know that it was quite an experience. And I didn't think that it was going to get past 12 or 15 games, but it's way beyond that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's at least more than double now, maybe triple.
Yes, sir. So. You're right.
Hey, Dick.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. Back with more here in a moment. Well, as we close out the show today, and our last caller mentioned the anniversary of the lights at Wrigley Field from 8-8-88. This is the 9th of August. This is the day of course, the bombing of Nagasaki, the second atomic bomb, this day, 1945. And this also the day Vice President Gerald Ford was sworn in as the nation's 38th president. And here's what that sounded like.
Mr. Vice President, are you prepared to take the oath of office as President of the United States?
I am, sir.
If you will raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
That occurred on this day, August the 9th, 1974. That's what it sounded like there at the White House. Gerald Ford took over as president and probably one of the more underrated presidents when you think about it. Where he came in, where he stepped in, the times we lived in at that point, kind of settled everything down. All right, and our last text from Bill, NRA supporters gun runners. NRA supports gun safety, being a responsible gun owner, and the Second Amendment. Gun manufacturers aren't going to risk their business selling guns illegally. It's criminals selling the guns. That text in on the text line. All right, that's it for me for today. Thanks to our guests that were on earlier, Eric Meyer, and also Eric Saylor from the State Fair. Hope you get over there at some point. Back tomorrow, Andrea Darlis will join me in the second hour from WGN Radio in Chicago. This is WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, at 11 o'clock Central.